Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Retire While You Work podcast. I'm joined here with Carson Odom once again. Today, we're going to be discussing something that's been coming up. I mean, it's come up at times over the years, but I think you're seeing it now with the fact that, you know, NVIDIA has had stellar performance this year and really over the last couple of years. And at times with the Magnificent Seven, the other big tech stocks, you've seen quick and fast performance out of them. At various times as well. So what we wanted to touch on today was a question that we get from clients. And that question is, if I want to own individual stocks, how much should I own in any one individual stock? If to avoid not throwing my financial plan off, should something happen and you see, you know, that stock maybe go for a loss for a period of time or something crazy happened like an Enron where it completely went out of business. So we just wanted to address that, how we plan with clients when they want to own individual stocks from a textbook financial planning perspective. Doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It's just the tool that we use when working with clients. And I think it's, you know, helped a lot of people over the years because it just allows them to not be too overweight to one individual stock. Yeah, it feels great when that stock's up 50 or 100% or even more in a year, but any year when it's down 50%, that's when it's prudent to maybe not have so much of your net worth or investable assets in that one individual stock. So Carson, you have anything to add before we get started?
Yeah, I think my tolerance has always been in my investing history since I first opened my first account and bought the first thing I ever bought has always been it's a risk to buy an individual stock, just as much as it is to, with anything. We've always been hammered into our lives that diversification is important. So in my mind, when I'm in a wealth building stage of life, why even risk picking one stock out of the thousands that are publicly traded? Why? You know, what am I, do I think I'm trying to guess the one stock from my very small opinion that's going to end up doing extremely well? So I've personally just always gone the safe route and said, let's just add it to diversified portfolio across all the different asset classes. You cannot go wrong doing that. Like you truly cannot go wrong. I think we preach this whenever you own large cap, mid cap, small cap, some international, whether or not you have bonds in your portfolio. My personal diversification based on my risk tolerance, it's, you know, my savings is for a long time from now, whenever I hit retirement, I've got almost 100% equities for me personally. So that means I have no reason to own fixed income. In my opinion, I'm okay with the risk tolerance, but still I'm not allocating all my investments towards one individual security because you have individual company risk. And there are so many risks associated when, you know, when you talk about one company, what if there's an awful news headline and it drops 20%? I know it's sometimes mentally we think that these companies are indestructible. They're really not. One regulation could come across the board with one of these Mag 7 companies. One trade regulation where there's huge tariffs involved. One country that's a big buyer of it to say, hey, we're done. And all of a sudden, that's a huge hit. And you might have great performance now. It doesn't mean it's always going to be that way.
Yeah. And so that's why it's just, you know, in our opinion, prudent to, and I'll just kind of get into it. So the number that we use with clients when they say, hey, we want to, you know, buy X stock or Y stock, what's a good level for us to look at? And we always say never to put any more than about 5% of your investable net worth into that one individual stock. And our thought process behind that is worst case scenario, that stock goes to zero. Unlikely, but let's just say it does. 5% in any one stock is not going to throw your portfolio or your financial plan off. Yeah, it's going to hurt and it's going to sting, especially if that 5% is on a bigger number. But again, 95% of your assets are in other stable or companies that have not gone bust that are still earning and doing well. On the flip side, 5%, that's a pretty healthy amount to where if that stock goes ahead and let's just say it's up over a couple of years, 100, 200%, if it's really flying high, you're going to participate in that. That's a healthy amount. And you know, that 5% is going to grow to 10%. And that's when we're having conversations of, hey, does it make sense to maybe sell off some of that and take some earnings off the table? Or do you just keep letting it go because you like that stock? And so that's what we use. It's worked over the years. And I think it's allowed clients to, you know, they obviously have a part in their financial plan with us. It's a team effort here in getting that. But when we're able to help them build in a position like that, that for whatever reason is important to them, I think they just feel extremely heard. And
yeah.
And it just is a good way for them to work with us to put some positions into their financial plan that they actually want to own or have an interest in.
Yeah, I'll say I am, you know, that's my personal opinion when it comes to, I don't like personally buying individual stocks. But when it comes to an overall financial plan and an overall appetite for doing that, I get it. I totally get it, because you want to, you know, the stock market can be super boring if you want it to be. You could go the rest of your life, buy one fund literally for the rest of your life and probably be okay. Mm-hmm. Or we can diversify. You can buy a bunch of individual stocks. There's a balance to everything. And I think if you have a desire to play the game a little bit, try to invest in a few individual securities, that's perfectly fine. Just do it within bounds. Give yourself bounds, you know, add balance to it. Just like we preach in all aspects of life and financial planning, is it's all about balance. So if you can have, you know, we have a lot of clients who have a fun account, call it, where
yep.
they make it to where it's a small portion of their overall balance sheet. And I'm making up numbers here. Somebody's got $1 million in investable assets. Maybe they have, you know, like you were talking about, with 5%, 50 grand in an account, satellite account, anywhere from 25, 50 grand that they're, it's their play money to where they can allocate to individual securities. More than likely, if it's diversified, at least across a few individual stocks, it's not going to go to zero. But in the event that it does, it's not your entire $1 million portfolio that's going to zero. It's not going to completely wreck your financial plan. So at least it's a way to, yes, enjoy the stock market, you know, enjoy looking at companies, seeing what kind of companies you like, buying companies where you buy their products. And then you do it on a smaller scale. That way, if it does pop, 50 grand turns into 100, heck yeah, that's a huge win. That's a significant amount of money. But also, if it turns for the worst, it's not going to ruin anything.
Yep. And for maybe some people who are, you know, say, hey, no, like I really truly believe in this company. I want to hold, 25, 50% of my investable net worth and my financial plan in that one stock. There's nothing wrong with that. It's mm-hmm. just, you need to understand the risk of, hey, if, you know, you see a 50% decline in this stock, what's our plan? How are we going to handle this? And have those conversations going into it so that you're not panic selling when you see something like that, and you know what the plan is ahead of time, so that you're not scrambling in the moment trying to figure out exactly what you're going to do.
Yeah, that's right. That's a different part of the conversation, is what if you already own a significant portion of stock in your portfolio, then what do you do? And that takes a little bit more strategy around it, because you could view it as, okay, hey, I bought X stock back in the 90s when it was a penny. Now it's a huge astronomical amount with stock splits and so on and so forth. So how do I get rid of that? Well, ultimately, the big deciding factor there is taxes. Are you going to be okay shedding some of that position and paying some taxes on it? And someone used to tell me that if you're paying taxes, you're making money. And yes, while that's true, of course, we always want to take on the side of, well, if we can avoid taxes as much as we can legally, then absolutely, don't want to pay taxes just for the sake of paying taxes. So then there are strategies where we can just slowly trim the position, take advantage of current tax rates to get it to a point where you can diversify your portfolio, especially if you're sitting there with a third or half of your money sitting in one position.
Yeah, I think that's what's awesome about financial planning in general, is that there's so many different ways to go about reaching your goals. We have clients who own individual stocks, clients who don't want to own individual stocks, clients who own mutual funds, clients who own ETFs. You can build the plan that fits your needs, whether and maybe it's all stocks, maybe it's stocks and bonds, maybe it's a mix of the two, and get to where you want to be. And that's what's awesome. You know, our job is just to counsel our clients and give them options with what they're telling us, what their goals are, where they're trying to get to, and put a plan in place utilizing the tools at our disposal to get them there. And I think that's what we all really enjoy about our job here, is it's almost like we're coming to work every day trying to solve a puzzle to an extent and help clients realize exactly what they want to do and their dreams and goals. And again, with the tools we have in place, put a plan together that gets them there.
It's good. I think the overarching theme is get the planning in place first. I think we always preach this, is let your planning be, you know, those are the things that you can control: your overall financial plan, how much you're saving, where you're allocating your income. You've got your estate plan in place. You've got enough life insurance. Do the things that you can control. Then The smaller section of that is the actual investments, where if you're a client of ours, we've talked through exactly how, you know, for each and every client, investments should be allocated. And then beyond that, in the super nitty gritty, hey, I want to buy XYZ stock. Can we add a small sliver in my portfolio to that? Great. Now we've arrived. The 99% of the core financial plan is there. Then we add in the small slivers like that.
Yep. That's a good way to end it. So hope this helped. Hope this was some good information for everybody listening in, and just how you can go about adding individual stocks into your plan, and what's a good way to do that if you don't have anything, or maybe you just own mutual funds or ETFs right now. So yeah, just to kind of recap, you know, that number is about 5% that we talk about with clients having into any one individual stock, just so you're balanced and never putting too much risk into one individual asset. So again, thanks everybody who joined us today, and we look forward to catching you next time.
Thanks, everybody.
Any opinions are those of myself and not necessarily those of Raymond James. Expressions of opinion are as of this date and are subject to change without notice. The information contained in these podcasts do not purport to be a complete description of the securities market or developments referred to in this material. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but we do not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Every investor situation is unique, and you should consider your investment goals, risk tolerance, and time horizon before making any investment. Prior to making an investment decision, please consult with your financial advisor about your individual situation. Any hypothetical examples are for illustration purposes only. Actual investor results will vary. Raymond James does not provide legal or tax services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional.